Well, grab your seat and grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, hypotheticals, they can be fun, all right? Hypotheticals can be fun. Now, what is a hypothetical? Well, a hypothetical is a situation or an idea that's imagined. It's not reality, right? You're imagining it, and you do that. You throw out this hypothetical to kind of explore what might happen if something were true. It's a what-if scenario. We run these through our minds all the time, and they can be fun, like this poem called My Teacher is a Bear. What if my teacher were a bear with honey dripping from her hair? She'd grade my papers with her claw and growl at kids who broke the law. What if she lumbered down the rows and sniffed my homework with her nose? She'd rumble, "This smells like salmon stew," and eat my essay, worksheet two. What if at recess she climbed a tree so that all the children she could see? She'd point with her paw and roar out names, "Liam, don't you cheat at those games." What if my teacher were a bear? Do say, that would be great. Who would disobey? I'd learn a lot. Honey, buy the jug and end each day with big bear hug. Hypotheticals can be fun, right? Right? They can also, though, fuel anxiety. What if I say something stupid and everybody laughs at me? What if this headache is not just a headache? What if this headache is like brain cancer or something serious? What if my child is in an accident? Those of you who have teenage drivers, I mean, you ever find yourself glued to Life 360? I still remember when Zachariah would go visit, you know, over at the Grahams, and he would be coming across the causeway, and I'd always be watching. Here he comes. I just want to make sure he made it across the lake. And he would, right? What if my husband loses his job? What if my wife gets sick? Man, I mean, this type of hypothetical, it can drive us crazy, can't it? We need to learn to deal with those with godly means, okay? But hypotheticals can also, although they can be fun, they can be not fun, they can also be really powerful tools of persuasion. They can push people toward truth. How? Well, by helping them see the consequences of an idea. Oh, you don't want to believe this, because if that were true, then this would be true. That's how we use those as tools of persuasion. And sometimes those consequences, they are horrifying. In today's text here, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20 here, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, is doing here. He's using a hypothetical to persuade us of the truth of the resurrection of the dead. And what he puts out here is actually a horrifying hypothetical. It's a horrifying hypothetical. What is it? Well, you see the hypothetical here in today's takeaway. Here's today's takeaway. Consider the saddest what if ever. Here it is. What if dead people can't rise from the grave? What if dead people can't rise from the grave? What a sad situation. And as we're going to see, it actually has horrifying implications if that were true. And apparently this doctrinal position is some that in the Corinthian church were kind of struggling with. Now, they weren't directly denying the resurrection of Jesus. Look here at 1 Corinthians 15, 12. They weren't denying the resurrection of Jesus. They were denying our resurrection, the resurrection of ordinary people. Look at verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? They were basically saying, Jesus may have risen, but we ain't. Jesus may have risen, but ordinary people don't rise from the grave. Now, keep in mind where this church is. this church is in Greece, right? Modern day Greece. It's the city of Corinth. This confusion that they had here, it likely arose from the pagan philosophy that they were steeped in. A key facet to a lot of the ancient Greek philosophy was this idea of dualism. Dualism taught that the body and the soul were two separate entities that were kind of in opposition to one another. The human spirit was seen as good, the human body as bad. Even they would go as far as to say intrinsically evil, irredeemable, they would say. And so what does the spirit need to do? Well, the spirit needs to escape the body and never return. That's what they thought. So to the Greeks, the idea of a resurrected body, it was nonsensical. And secondly, it was repulsive. Ugh, pick back up that body. Which led people there in the Corinthian church to say, dead people can't rise from the grave. Have you ever known people that thought like that? Maybe you're here today, right? And you think, Jesus may have risen from the grave, but not us. I mean, dead people can't rise from the grave. And so Apostle Paul, he throws out this hypothetical to show them and to show us the foolishness and the horror of this idea. We get the hypothetical here in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead. That, again, that's basically saying, what if people can't rise from the grave? What a sad hypothetical. And then he lays out seven consequences of this false idea. And I was really tempted to kind of take these consequences and kind of flip them on their head and preach the positive side of it. But that's not what the text does here. I think Paul, here in this moment here, puts them in the terms that he does so that this hits us square in the chest, straight in the mind, straight in the head, right? To impact us, to kind of shake us up. And to say, my goodness, I never want to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, but we're not. And so I want to hit you the way he hit you. So seven consequences of this false idea that dead people can't rise from the dead. First, if dead people can't rise from the grave, then Christ is still dead in the grave. Christ himself still dead in the grave. Look at the fullness of verse 13 here. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. The Corinthians were kind of trying to have their theological cake and eat it too. I would love to do that. I would love to have my cake and eat it too. But you can't save your cake for later and eat it at the same time. That's logically impossible. And in the same way, you can't say people can't rise from the grave and at the same time say that Christ was raised from the grave. Why? Y'all, that's because Jesus Christ was one of the people. He was a person. He was a human being. He was truly God, yes, but he was also truly man. He was human, just like you and me. And he was not just a human, but eventually a dead human. Just look at what we looked at last week, right? The first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 15. Christ was crucified, dead, and buried. A stone cold dead human being. And if dead people can't rise from the grave, then Jesus Christ can't rise from the grave. Therefore, if that's true, then Christ is still dead in the grave. That's the first consequence of this hypothetical. Second, if dead people can't rise from the grave, then our preaching is a waste. Our preaching is a waste. Look at verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. To do something in vain means that you waste your time. You're just wasting your breath. It makes no difference. Do it all you want. It doesn't make a difference. I'm wasting my breath preaching if Christ was not risen from the dead. You know, it's hard to believe, but it has been 18 years now that I've been preaching full-time every Sunday. I've been in vocational ministry for 24 years. The first 6 years, I had the role of student ministry and worship ministry, but in August of 2008, I moved into a lead pastor role, a preaching pastor role, and I've been doing it every Sunday, week in and week out, for 18 years. And on Sunday mornings alone, I've easily preached 800 messages. And I've preached about that many on Wednesday nights, when you throw in Wednesday nights. And when I was at my church in Tennessee, we also did Sunday nights, a full service, a full message. And so adding all that together, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 2,000 sermons that I've preached. That's a lot of breath. And if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised, and I have wasted my breath for 18 years. My preaching is in vain, and your preaching is in vain. You're sharing your teaching. What a sad thought. I mean, all that effort wasted, all that energy and study and preparation wasted, hours wasted, if Christ were not raised from the dead. But worse than this second is the third consequence. If dead people can't rise from the grave, then your faith is worthless. Your faith is worthless. Look at the fullness again of 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then skip to the end. Your faith is in vain. Not only is your preaching in vain, but your faith is in vain. Beloved, our faith does nothing if the dead aren't raised. It's worthless. All of those years trying to follow Christ and hoping in Christ and reading your Bible and praying those prayers, giving your finances, singing those songs, all done in faith. Right? You do those in faith. It's all vain, empty. It amounts to nothing. It's worthless, like fool's gold. If Christ were not raised, it's worthless, like Pokemon cards. Sam and I'll argue about that later. Right? All of those things. Why? Why is it worthless then? Like, man, my faith is strong, preacher. My faith is strong. I thought faith was enough. Beloved, it's never been about your faith by itself, in itself. Your faith was never in faith. You're not saved just by faith in general. You're saved by faith in Christ. Faith in Christ, like the Reformers used to say, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised. What's my faith in then? I've put my faith in a dead man who's powerless. And if that's the case, then my faith, our faith, worthless. But not only that. Fourth, if dead people can't rise from the grave, then you and I are liars. We're liars. Look at verse 15 and 16. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he didn't raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. In other words, if the dead are not raised, y'all, then Christ wasn't raised, and if Christ wasn't raised, we're liars. Why? Because we've been telling everybody, Christ has risen from the... We just sang about it! We do this all the time, right? We tell people that on that first Easter Sunday, he came back to life and walked out of that grave. How many people over the course of your life have you told this to? And how many times have you told it? And how many people have told you that Christ was risen from the dead? And how many times have you heard it, right? Hundreds of people, even thousands of people, and thousands of times, even tens of thousands of times that you've heard it. And every moment was a lie if Christ is not raised from the dead. And Christ is not raised from the dead if people can't rise from the grave. In this room, this very room, every Sunday, 400 to 600 people being lied to. And you lie as well when you go out and say Christ is risen if the dead aren't raised. And we've lied to everybody about God if this is so. But what an awful thought. How sad. How sad. But sad turns to horrifying here with the fifth consequence. From sad to horrifying. If dead people can't rise from the grave, then number five, then we're all headed to hell. We're all headed for hell. Look at verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. You thought you were forgiven. You thought your sins had been washed away. You thought that your sins had been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. You thought that your sins had been thrown into the depths of the sea and forgotten. But not if the dead aren't raised. No. If the dead aren't raised, then you are still covered in your sins. You thought you were heading for heaven, but you're headed for hell. The Bible's clear about this, right? The wages of sin, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you are a sinner. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And that's not just unconscious death in the grave. No, it's conscious death in hell. Dead, but never dying. Suffering eternal torment, where the fires are never quenched, where the worm never dies. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says it this way, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. We read in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. From His presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for Him. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, hell proper. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in to the lake of fire. Beloved, this is our future. If the dead are not raised. But even more horrifying is the sixth consequence. If dead people can't rise from the grave, then number six, all of our dead loved ones, all of them are in hell right now. If the dead aren't raised, then not only are you and I headed to hell, but our dead loved ones are there right now. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 15:18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Fallen asleep, that's a euphemism for death. Those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, they were believing in Christ, but they've perished. You were full of faith that they are right now enjoying the glories of heaven. But if the dead are not raised, then they're right now suffering the torments of hell. Your sweet granny, your little papaw, your beloved mom, your faithful dad, that deceased sibling or friend, all of them have perished if the dead are not raised. Sad, right? Saddest hypothetical ever. What a horrible hypothetical. And to sum it all up is the seventh consequence of this hypothetical. If dead people can't rise from the grave, then we, number seven, are the most pitiful people on the planet. Look at verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. I mean, Christians are called to give up everything for Christ, right? Give up everything, let nothing stand between you and Jesus. We're called to give up anything that gets in the way of pursuing Jesus. And so people, they've given up earthly pleasure. People have sacrificed time and talent and treasures. People, they've been cut off from their family and their community for following Jesus. People have lost their jobs, their businesses. People have lost status in their community and in their network. People have even been put to death, right? Lost their lives for following Jesus. Why? All for the promise of life after death. And not just life after death, but a great life. A great life after death. Eternal life after death. Blessed beyond measure. Now, yes, following Jesus in this life, it has benefits. But if in Christ, as he says here, we have hope only in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Why? Man, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Get all you can, however you can, because you're living your best life now. We'd be crazy to not do that if the dead aren't raised. But, I want to say this finally. Praise God. This what if is not true. Amen? This what if is not true. This horrifying hypothetical, this sad situation is a false hypothetical, right? It's a false position. Apostle Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 15, 13, the hypothesis here, the hypothetical, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. That's imagined, not real. It's a what if statement. But here in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, 20, Apostle Paul sets the record straight. He brings us back to reality, back to truth. Not what if, but what is. Look at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so I say to you this morning, church, beloved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Christ did rise from the grave back to life. Amen? Therefore, our preaching is not a waste. We're making the most of our breath. And our faith, it's not worthless. No, our faith is powerful because it's connected to a risen Savior. And we're not liars. No, we're witnesses of the truth that Jesus' tomb was empty on that first Easter Sunday. Amen? And we're not headed for hell. No, heaven is our destiny. And our dead loved ones right now who believed in Christ, they're not suffering in the torments of hell. No, they're enjoying the glories of heaven and experiencing the fullness of Christ's reward. And we're not to be pitied. No, we should be envied because we have eternal life. Eternal life. And as Jesus said in Mark 10, 29 and 30, he said, truly I say to you, There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or land for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive, listen, a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, what? Eternal life. Beloved, we have it all in Jesus Christ, and one day, not only did he rise, but one day we will rise. Don't doubt it. That old body, that one day will be placed in that tomb like a seed, all wrapped up in those burial clothes and that casket, or if you get turned to ashes, right? You there in that urn. One day, by the power of God, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he is the first fruits. That's the guarantee. That's the down payment. That's the deposit of what you and I will face. And as sure as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you and I who are in Jesus Christ will one day rise. Praise God. Amen. That is our hope. And my goodness, the older I get, the greater that hope becomes. Amen? And I'm telling you young folks, you'll see. The older you get, the greater your hope becomes in Jesus. That one day, that resurrection power that shook the tomb there in Jerusalem will one day shake your tomb wherever it is. And by the power of God, you in that glorified, resurrected body shall walk alive. As Job said, I will see God in my flesh, though it wastes away. Here's my final prayer today. May our hope rise, because the dead in Christ will rise just like Christ rose.